Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back. He steps up. He's going to run. Run he does. He's got the first down. He's at the 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. And out of bounds inside the 5. Jalen Hurts.
Just amazing stuff. Jalen against Green Bay the other night. This hour sponsored by Meridian Bank, regional presence, community touch. Meridian Bank, innovative business banking for entrepreneurial success. Delighted to be joined by my pal, Ray Dinger. And Ray, before we get into all the football business, let me just say I watched that NFL Films portrait on you, recorded it when it was on the other night. It was great and posted it online, and people watched it and just thought it was terrific. You came off magnificently. I don't know when it's going to run again, but I will help people try to find it. And congratulations on just really a nice treatment that they gave you.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. I mean, it's proof that NFL Films can make anything interesting. You know what I mean?
Don't sell yourself short, Ray.
I know, I'm a tremendous slouch. Yeah.
There you go.
But it was, I mean, Chris Barlow, who, you know, my good friend from my years of working over there, he and I partnered on a lot of projects, and he's about as good a storyteller as I've ever been around. And, you know, when he said he was going to do the piece, I knew I was in good hands, and it did. It turned out really great. It ran a couple times this week, and it's going to run again in a couple weeks on NFL Network this time. So it's going to be floating around, so folks will get a chance to see it. But I really have to thank those guys over there because they did a beautiful job with it.
Ray, what was your reaction when I assume Chris pitched the idea to you?
I thought he was kidding. He sent me an email and said we want to do a piece about your career and your retirement, and I thought he was joking. And I wrote back, and you know, I basically wrote back kind of a yeah, right, sure, and. No, he said, no, we really do. And look, I worked there long enough, 13 years, that I kind of know how programming goes over there. And I know, you know, I mean, they don't normally do shows about people in the media. They just don't. I mean, in all my time over there, we did one piece about Myron Cope, who's the legendary writer broadcaster out in Pittsburgh, who's just a great character and just funny as can be. And so his story kind of, and his personality really lend itself to a television treatment. So that made perfect sense to me. But the idea of trying to do the same thing with me was, I said, well, I'm very flattered, but I don't know. Good luck trying to pull this off. But they did. It was really, really good. And you know, a big part of it were the interviews. I mean, Glenn, you were great. Michael Barkan was terrific, and you know, my son just knocked it out of the park. I never knew that my son was such a great interview.
He was great. So anyway, people just try to watch it. All right, Ray, we saw an incredible game against the Packers from Jalen Hurts, and I know comparisons are always risky. I mean, you know, hey, we thought Wentz, was going to be a great player for a decade. But with that, I'm not going to ask you to project Jalen Hurts' career, but I'd love you to compare his skill set to some extremely talented quarterbacks the Eagles have had over the years. Randall, McNabb, Vic. You know, how does his skill set compare and contrast with those amazingly talented quarterbacks?
Well, I guess you almost have to look at it through two prisms. You know, one being what he is now, and the other one being what he can be. You know, because I think you're still seeing the guy grow. You know, I mean, if you just Again, the comparison, when you and I were doing the show together, I talked all the time about how much growth you saw in him in college. I mean, the difference between his Alabama years and his Oklahoma years, just how much he developed and improved as a passer, you know, and how much better he's gotten since then. As good as he is right now, and he's clearly in the MVP discussion, you kind of get the feeling he's almost just scratching the surface of how good he can be, which, I mean, I don't know that anybody thought that when the Eagles drafted him, because there were enormous questions about can he ever throw the ball well enough to be a winning quarterback in the NFL? And at that time, that was a legitimate question to ask. But through hard work, and I got to give the coaches their due, through some good coaching, I mean, he has really made strides. I mean, if you look at his numbers from last year and you compare them to this year, especially in the critical areas of third down and red zone, I mean, much, much better. I mean, the improvement, I mean, he was the 23rd most efficient quarterback throwing the ball in the red zone last year. Now he's number four. So in 1 year, that kind of improvement is remarkable, but it's part of the reason why the Eagles are 10-1 right now.
Ray, I have to be honest. I'm covering all these Eagles games, and I'm watching them win games, sometimes by large margins, by running the ball. And I have this vision of you sitting at home, tracking the plays, and shaking your fist in the air and saying, "Victory is mine," with the way that they are running the ball this season. And it's been a league-wide trend. Teams are running the ball more efficiently and in some cases more frequently than ever before. You have a team, I think I pointed this out in a column a couple of weeks ago, you have a team like the Atlanta Falcons, which doesn't have a whole lot of talent on its roster, but is able to be in contention for a bad division's title because they're running the ball so well. What do you think happened? For years we heard, you got to throw the ball to win in the NFL, and this season there seems to have been a sea change. What in your mind happened?
Yeah, I think that there's a couple of things that happened. I think you're right, Mike. You're right about a couple of things. You're right about the fact that I'm sitting home logging all this and cheering my head off, because I think this is absolutely my school of football that they're playing in right now. I do love it. I mean, to me, it's very old school, but to me, it's very entertaining. I know there's some fans that just love the passing game, and they love the 40-38 games, and I understand there's a place for that. But there's also a place for a good 17-14 game. I mean, that's and I think you're seeing more of those. I think what you're seeing is one of the great things about football is the way it evolves and the way cycles kind of repeat themselves. And we're kind of going back to some of that stuff now. I mean, it was not that long ago that it was kind of a rarity for teams to play with two tight ends. You just didn't really see it. I mean, but now you do. Teams are playing with two tight ends a lot, which gives you that extra blocker, which makes you better to run. You got better running quarterbacks now, and defenses aren't really set up to play against running quarterbacks, because now all of a sudden you hear the phrase, then it's true, now you got an extra blocker. Now the quarterback's in play on that play. So that makes it better. And defenses have now been constructed over the last, two decades, really to defend against the pass, because that's what's been the big weapon. So now you've got smaller defensive linemen. You've got teams that are built around nickel and dime defenses. So linebackers, there are a lot more defensive backs than linebackers on the field right now. A lot of defensive coaches, like Jonathan Gannon, like to play the conservative game. They like to play the two safeties high. They don't want to bring the safety down in the box. So teams are light up front. They're light in the box. It's a smaller front four. Offensive linemen are getting bigger, and they can just push people off. And you've got quarterbacks that can run, and you got backs who can run. And teams have just decided, you know, we can actually do this now. And by doing this, we can control the clock, we can control field position, and we're not as apt to turn the ball over. And it turns out to be a winning formula. Now, that's not to say that somebody can just win a championship in the NFL now by running it 50 times a game and with a guy that can't throw. You're going to have to throw it some. But what you're seeing now is teams have realized that, yeah, you can win in the NFL. It can be an effective strategy, and more teams are adopting it.
Ray Dinge is our guest, as obvious, everybody knows this voice, certainly at this time. Ray is going to join Mike and me and Zach Berman and Scheib Sports and Carl's Cards and Collectible and Charlie Manuel's company, Hog Island Press, this coming Wednesday, December 7th, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Puddler's Kitchen and Tap in Bridgeport. It's the holiday gift shopping extravaganza. Ray's going to bring some of his great books. So we invite everybody to come and get your holiday shopping done early. It's 3 DeKalb Street in Bridgeport on the banks of the Schuylkill, right over the bridge from Norristown. Ray, as we look at the Eagles now with their incredible record, where's the competition come from? Who are the teams in the NFC, and I guess I'd ask you to rank them, that the Eagles should expect to play down the road in the playoffs?
Well, one of the big surprises of this season is the fact that it looks like some of your competition is going to come from your own division, which, I mean, nobody saw that coming at the beginning of the year. I mean, we kind of thought the NFC East was kind of going to be the NFC East that we've seen over the last few years. That, you know, there might be one team that might be able to get a game over 500, but the other two teams aren't going to be much. And now you're looking at a scenario where, I mean, you got all four teams are now playing for the postseason with a very real chance that maybe three of them could get there. And so you can't look past the Giants. You can't even look past the Washington at this point, especially if they knock off the Giants tomorrow and get really into the thick of this thing. The Cowboys are always scary because they do have a lot of talent on their roster, and you've seen them this year. When they're good, they can be really good, as they showed against Minnesota. But the team that scares me, if I'm an Eagles fan, the team that looking down the road, the team that scares me is San Francisco.
Yeah, that's what everybody's starting to say, huh?
Yeah, they're good. They're good. I mean, I was just looking at some tape on them this week, and the two things are happening. Their defense, which was very good at the start of the year, but was weakened with some injuries. Some of those guys are getting healthy. They're getting back, and they're starting to look like the defense that we thought they were going to be all year. And I think either this week or next week they're going to get Arik Armstead back, which will make him even better. And on offense, you know, Christian McCaffrey is there now, and you know, he's been with the team long enough that he's learned the playbook. He's learned the system. He's got an injury issue right now. It's slowing him down a little bit, but not a whole lot. I suspect that he'll be ready for the postseason. And if all of that comes together and you got some of those receivers, I mean, Ayuk is a really good receiver. Samuel's a really good receiver. I mean, they are a very potent team. And, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, isn't a quarterback that's going to be on the covers of any magazines anytime soon. But
not for his playing ability anyway, Ray.
No, well, he could make GQ. You're right about that. Yeah, he could make GQ. But as far as you know, you don't think about him as one of those sort of franchise type quarterbacks. But if you surround him with enough good people, he can win, as he's demonstrated. I mean, he has taken a team to a Super Bowl. So they're the one team that looks to me to be, if you're an Eagles fan and you're looking down the road and you're looking at the postseason and saying, okay, who would I rather not have to play out of the NFC? It would probably be the San Francisco, because I think they've got the players and I think they've got a team that's constructed in such a way with that defense and that offensive line, they can go on the road and win a game. So that to me is the biggest threat to the Eagles.
Ray, I want to shift gears a little bit. I know you were at the doubleheader at the Palestra the other night for Temple LaSalle and St. Joe's and Penn. You're a Temple alumnus. What's your take on kind of where the Big Five is now and its relevancy in the city, in the market, and kind of in college basketball nationally?
Yeah. Mike, I thought you really said it very well in the paper this week when you wrote your piece the day after that that doubleheader. I thought it was sad. You know, I really do. I went there with high hopes. You know, when I saw that on the schedule that they were going to play this Big Five doubleheader and really invoke the memories of what the Palestra kind of used to be. And you got LaSalle Temple in the first game. You got Penn St. Joe in the second game. And I went to the game with my old college buddy, Russell Peltz. We went there and I was expecting to see the place full. I was expecting to get a little of the old, you know, the old mojo back. And we walked in there. We were there about, I guess, 10 minutes before tip-off of the LaSalle Temple game, and the place was empty.
Yeah,
I mean, like empty. And it didn't fill up a whole lot after that. I mean, as later on in that game, as some of the Penn people began showing up and the St. Joe people for the second game, you began to get some more people in the building. But there was never anything you would describe as electricity. There wasn't anything that evoked memories to me of what the Palestra used to be. It was just a reminder of what the Palestra is now, you know, and what the Big Five is now. And that was a shame. I really kind of was looking at that as a night when maybe they could, even if it's just for one night, kind of recapture the magic. And I think the feeling that I had when I left there is that the magic is gone. And I felt really bad about that. And I thought your column kind of expressed it pretty well with just the right note of, you know, hey, listen, this was a really good try, and I know it was Fran Dunphy's idea to put these two games together, and it was a great attempt to try and rekindle the memory of what the Big Five was. But I think what you saw was kind of where the Big Five is right now. And it was really, for an old timer like me that remembers the days of the 60s and the 70s, and it was really kind of a shame.
All right, Ray. Nicely said, and it was a great column that Mike wrote.
Thanks, guys.
One of the things I miss not getting to be with you every weekend is my what we're watching are all TV, and Mike's reviews have generally been TV as well. But, Ray, you go to the movies.
Yes.
And so my hunch is that you've probably seen a couple movies recently, and I would love a little Ray Dinger what we're watching.
Okay. Well, I did go to a movie this week. I went to see a movie called Devotion, which is probably is not getting a whole lot of press, but it's a movie about it's the story of the first African-American naval aviator, a guy named Jesse Powers, who went through the whole program and became a naval aviator and flew and sadly lost his life in the Korean War. But it's good. I mean, the thing about it was, one of the things I really liked about it was I thought the aerial photography scenes, the aerial combat scenes, were really good. And the stunt coordinator, the guy that coordinated the aerial photography is the same guy that did the aerial photography for Maverick. The second edition of the Top Gun series, which was a lot of people saw Maverick, and a lot of people saw the aerial scenes in that, which were pretty breathtaking. And a fellow named Kevin LaRosa, and they got him to do the aerial photography here. It's a little bit different because it's Korean War vintage, so you don't have supersonic jets flying around. But it was, again, I mean, the feeling of flight. And the feeling of what it's like to be in a dogfight and dodging anti-aircraft fire has you on the edge of your seat for sure. The photography is really good. The story is a little it's a little bumpy. I mean, it's not particularly artfully told. But the fact that it's true makes it pretty compelling. You understand what this guy went through. And I have to tell you that the actor who plays Jesse, who plays the lead, is a fellow named Jonathan Majors. Is he a powerful on-screen presence. And if you don't get to see him in Devotion, I saw the trailer for Creed 3, which is coming out in March, which is the third installment of the Creed series now. Mm-hmm. And he played a really super good guy in Devotion, but he kind of plays the villain coming up in Creed. He becomes the opponent for Michael Jordan in Creed 3. And, man, he looks really good in this. He's really good in this, but he's going to be a very different role in Creed. And I just saw the trailer, but I can't wait to see that one. I think that's going to be really good.
Well, Ray, you mentioned Top Gun Maverick, and I have to confess, I have seen Top Gun Maverick maybe at a minimum 27 times since it came out. what did you think of that?
I liked it a lot. I liked it a lot. I was surprised. I was surprised I liked it so much. I mean, the idea of bringing the show back and bringing Tom Cruise back all these years later seemed to me to be a stretch. I had no doubt it was going to make money, mm-hmm. Because Tom Cruise movies do make money, and a lot of people loved Maverick, and so a lot of people loved Top Gun. So, but I kind of went back and just said, "Oh, let me check this out." But I didn't really have high hopes for it, and I wound up liking it a lot. I thought as a movie, it was much better than Top Gun was. I thought the story was much better.
Yeah.
I thought the love interest with he and Jennifer Connelly was much more real than the one that it with Kelly McGinnis the first time around. Mm-hmm. And even though it seemed like a stunt to me, bringing Val Kilmer back, even though it was just for the one scene,
it worked. It totally worked.
You're exactly right. And when I knew that they were bringing him back, and everybody knows about his health problems and everything, that they were going to bring him back in this role of the admiral who kind of helps resurrect Tom Cruise's career, I just thought it was a stunt, you know. And but the scene itself is really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it is really, really well done, and it's one of the things that makes the movie terrific, I think. And then, of course, the aerial photography and, you know, all the stuff that happens once they get up in the air it's just breathtaking. It really is. If people, I guess you can see it on streaming and you can kind of see it on TV, and you'll still get a good ride out of it. But boy, if you could ever see that in a real movie theater, or if you could better see it in IMAX, man, it is. I mean, that's a movie that will really, really take your breath away.
Yeah, and I would just add one quick thing. I think it will be the launching point for a couple of the young actors in it. You know, everybody particularly in the Philadelphia area, already knows about Miles Teller.
Yes.
But you think of Monica Barbaro and Glenn Powell, I think their careers are just going to take off because I thought they were terrific in it too.
Yeah, they were. And it's worth mentioning, Glenn Powell is also in Devotion.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Powell, the actor who kind of plays a bad guy in Maverick, turns around and he becomes the wingman and best friend of Jesse, the pilot in Devotion. And so he sort of flips the role around. He's a Navy pilot, but he's in this one, he's a good guy, and he's the one that his actual character in real life wins a Medal of Honor for his heroism in the Korean War. So Glenn Powell comes back in this, and you're right, he's quite good in it.
All right, Ray, last one for me. Let's get back to football. How do you see tomorrow's game against Tennessee playing up?
Challenging. I think that it's going to be a tough game for the Eagles. Tennessee's a funny team. I mean, if you look at them statistically, you look at their stats, and they're 29th offense, they were 21st in defense, they're 26th in points scored. I mean, you look at the numbers, you say, what?
Yeah.
These guys don't look that good. But the fact is, they just play really good in the areas where you kind of have to play good. They're really good in the red zone. They're really good on third down. They run the ball extremely well, and they're just tough. I mean, you just watch them on tape, and they're big, and they're physical, and they're tough. I mean, this Jeffrey Simmons guy, people don't know a whole lot about him. He hasn't been heard of very much. But in my view, he ranks among the top three, four defensive linemen in all of football. I mean, he's not quite Aaron Donald, but he ain't far off, and he's really good. And everybody kind of knows who Derrick Henry is, and they also make no secret about what they are and what they want to do. I mean, they're going to get off the bus running the ball tomorrow. I mean, they have one playbook, and Mike Vrabel has one way to play, and so they're going to come right at the Eagles with the whole Washington game plan, and they're just going to keep running Derrick Henry, and it's. What we're going to find out is, can the Eagles stand up to it? You know, how much better are they now with getting Ndamukong Suh and Linville Joseph? And you're also going to get back Jordan Davis, which will help. But that's what the game's really going to come down to. I mean, they're going to have to stop.
I have not unveiled my folded piece of paper, and nonetheless, I would expect a final pick from Ray.
Oh, okay. I think it's going to be a really close game because that's all Tennessee ever plays. The score is going to be that low. But I think the Eagles will find a way to win. But I think it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough four-quarter street brawl. And I'm going to say the Eagles win at 24-20.
24-20. I think we'll take that. Ray Dinger, we look forward to seeing you on Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Puddler's Kitchen and Tap in Bridgeport. You certainly know your way there, Ray. You've been there a few times.
I sure have.
Start your holiday shopping. Books by Ray, by Mike. I probably have a few copies of my old books hanging around. Zach Berman is going to be there. Swag from Scheib Vintage Sports, Carl's Cards and Collectible, and Hog Island Press, the charitable T-shirt company Charlie Manuel is involved with, plus beer. 3 DeKalb Street in Bridgeport is where Puddler's Kitchen and Tap is, on the banks of the Schuylkill. Ray, we will see you then, and tell Maria we appreciate you letting us steal you for a little bit.
I will tell her that for you, and I look forward to seeing you guys on Wednesday.
See you very Wednesday, good. Ray. Thanks.
Right,
Ray.
Take care, guys. See you.
Be
Bye.
Well. There you go. There you go.
He's the man, now and forever.
He is the man, and that feature on NFL Films is...
It's awesome.
It's outstanding. Awesome. I mean, for them to... devote 22, 23 minutes to a guy.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.